Thank you so much for joining us, Philip.
Pleasure, Ruby.
Now, I mean, it seems quite obvious that being kind is never a bad thing. But how was this developed from a scientific perspective?
Yeah, that's a good question, because the issue of kindness, as you've pointed out through the research you've looked at, kindness to others, doing kind acts or carrying out acts of kindness to others, really makes no sense in an evolutionary sense. It puts the other, the individual, at risk if they are putting something on the line. So we've got to ask ourselves, why would we be kind to others when it may disadvantage ourselves in doing so? So that's where there's some controversy. Charles Darwin would say that doesn't fit with his, or would have said it doesn't fit with his theory, because it doesn't help ensure the survival of the individual or, and ultimately, the species. But that doesn't fit with some of the research either, because we know that there are people carry out altruistic acts. They are kind to each other. There's no apparent reward for doing that. And now we know through the work that's been done that kindness extends not only to humans, but, for example, there are parrots, like the African grey parrot, happily help each other out to help their friend, as it were, acquire a treat, without any assumption on their behalf that they will get something in return. So we know that, quite apart from humans, a lot of non-humans also carry out acts of kindness.
Of course. And what is it about kindness in particular that has positive effects on our social world?
That's what the research has shown that you've had a look at, and that we've been using elements of this in programs that we've got in schools like the Peace Pact, because kindness is linked very closely with social and emotional learning in children and young people, so that in developing programs to address issues of bullying or to address issues of violence online, for example, that helping children and young people understand that carrying out acts of kindness can actually benefit themselves, but it can also benefit the school and the broader community. So I can give you an example, if you like, from a school that I've worked in over a number of years, where that school, at the suggestion of one of the counsellors, decided that they would have institute an idea of random acts of kindness. So he stood up at a staff meeting and he suggested to staff, look, here's an idea. I'm interested in our school carrying out random acts of kindness, and he explained what they were. And all the staff were quite enthusiastic and said, yes, we want to do that with the students. It was a secondary school. We want to do that with the students. And he said, no, I don't want you to do it with the students. I want this to happen amongst the staff first. And then once you've experienced random acts of kindness for a second term, then we'll see what we can do about the students. And it had an amazing impact in terms of that school community, in terms of inculcating a greater sense of identity, belonging and purpose within the school. So it had really, really strong benefits, not only amongst the teaching staff, but also amongst the student body.
Right. Now, is it possible? Is it actually possible to evolve kinder kids? And in that, how do you think that evolution would influence them?
Yes. So I think it is a matter of, and it depends a little bit on the kind of theory that you adopt. But if you had a view that it can be taught, and that students can be taught that there's some value in this, in being kind, to being altruistic, because there are various words for it, as you would know, and that actually kind of permeates throughout the school. And the research is showing, particularly out of countries like Canada, that if you teach people this, and it's a matter of teaching not only the adults but also the students and vice versa, that it does permeate, and there is some value, and then it permeates beyond the school and into the community, so that the community becomes aware of it. So it is a matter of teaching, I think, the value of being kind and considerate to others. In Spain, they have a slightly different word for it, and my command of Spanish isn't enough to cover it completely, but they have a concept there in their schools called conviviencia. And conviviencia is really about, it's not easily translated, as I best understand it, into English, but it's about the school community expressing convivial, friendly acts and friendly thoughts and being considerate of others, and that they actively teach that. They teach it to the students and they teach it to the parents and to the teachers as well. And so that concept, they have found through some extensive research, really does permeate once it is actively taught within the context of a lesson and a classroom.
Right. And last but certainly not least, there seems to be, I guess, in a capital-run society, an economic incentive to be more morally ambivalent. Now, how would we go about changing this?
Now, the economic benefits for this are immense. For example, in Australia, we know through some economic modelling that has been done that the issue of school bullying costs our community more than half a billion dollars a year. So kids who are seriously bullied at school are likely to have to see a doctor or a psychologist. They may have to take time off from school. They may not complete their schooling. They may leave the school and be homeschooled. So some extensive work that's been done around economic modelling shows that it pays us as a society to promote this notion of care, consideration and kindness toward others, because it has actual economic benefits. Kids who stay on at school, kids who feel happier at school, are more intent on completing school well and getting the best possible marks and grades. That comes about through feeling that school is a safe and comfortable place to be. And we do that in a program that we've got called the Peace Pack. And the Peace Pack is really about promoting well-being and reducing bullying, but it does that through very discreet teaching of things like conflict resolution and resilience and carrying out random acts of kindness. And that we know through the evaluations that we've done, kind of a pre- and post-test model and then a follow-up model, that significantly reduces the level of bullying and it's sustained over time, so that kids ultimately feel a lot happier at school, a lot more content with their lives.
Yeah. Well, that sounds fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Philip. It's been really great having you on the show to talk about this.
A pleasure, Ruby. Anytime.